lots to talk about on the Friday Forum this morning. Your calls, as always, are most welcome. Josie Bagani joins us on the panel again. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Nick Mills, good morning to you.
Josie's sidekick's here.
I
was sort of getting a little bit excited because Josie was running late. I said to Tim, you know what, Tim, I might get to say something today.
I was just having a pee.
Oh, we really needed
too much information.
Our listeners really needed to hear that.
Yeah, well, she's arrived well and truly. There's a lot to talk about this morning. I just want to get to a statement very quickly. Auckland Police have just put out a statement on what's happened to this this aviation security dog in Auckland, which has been shot dead after somehow getting loose at about 4 o'clock this morning, running around the runway, delaying, we understand, as many as 16 international and domestic flights. It was running around for 3.5 hours before it was shot dead. Now, police say that Auckland Airport staff directed police to shoot the dog, which was loose at the airport this morning. They say there were considerable efforts for several hours by aviation security and airport staff to contain the dog after it was first reported to be loose at 4 a.m. Police based at the airport provide a range of support and were in a supporting role for this incident. Our thoughts are with the dog handler involved. This is not the outcome anyone wanted, and police were only asked to be involved as a last resort. Now, this is blowing up big time, or I could say what Donald Trump says. This is blowing up big league, big time. This is splashed all over the headlines at the moment. Police dog shot. Stuff's got a headline up at the moment saying, and the dog by the name is called Grizz. Their headline is, did Grizz need to die? And Nick, people are going berserk on the likes of social media saying, why on earth was the dog shot dead?
55% of the population in our jails are Maoris, and we're worrying, you know, we've got bigger issues in our life and our world
than
a dog that's gone rogue. Hold on, it's taken 3 hours. They couldn't get the dog under control in 3 hours.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you had to shoot the dog. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't stop the world because of a rogue dog, and they don't know. I'm a dog lover. I'm not saying anything of poor old Grizz, and I feel for Grizz, and I feel for his owners and everything. But at the end of the day, it has to be. I mean, what were you going to do? Were you going to hold up the whole of the Auckland International Airport while they got this beagle or whatever it was, dog, and got it under control? They had 3 hours to get the damn dog under control. Why couldn't they do it?
Well,
I don't know.
The suggestion, and again, you know, this is people sitting in their armchairs on a phone sort of tapping away on Twitter, but the suggestion is, why could they not tranquilize the dog in terms of, you know, shooting a dog, which and we know that it costs a lot of money to train dogs up in terms of police dogs.
I can't believe you're going down that track.
I can see why people are so caught up in all of this.
We don't talk about as much if someone got shot by the police on a Friday night. Talk less about that. A human being.
Okay, Josie?
Yeah, it does blow up into a story that you sort of think, how has this become sort of suddenly front page news? I'm a dog lover, and that was my first thought, was why couldn't they fire a tranquilizer into it? But it's bizarre, really. Like, these dogs are highly trained. How come they could take 3 hours? It would take 3 hours to try and get it under control. And also, it's not, I mean, the airport runway area, it's not that big. I mean, how hard is it to get a dog like that, who's used to being
and trained? Dog. Yeah,
it's not like my dog, who's, you know, feral.
Mine too. They need a Fred Dagg. Just get him behind.
Get him behind.
Oh, that's all they needed.
I tell you
get
what, I was in Australia last weekend, and you look at all the news. Yeah, thanks, Nick. I do. And looking at all the news, and, you know, reading all the stuff about what's going on in the US, and there's terrible famine happening in Africa and the Horn of Africa, and there's all this big news. And then you look at the New Zealand news, and it's somebody stole the dial off Mount Vic,
which is a story.
It's not a front page story.
Probably not front page story.
On your leading national
newspaper. Someone wanted their toupee back.
Don't get me started on that.
I mean,
the stuff that makes news in this country.
Are you seriously telling me that a dog that gets shot on the runway at Auckland Airport because they can't contain it after 3.5 hours? It's not a story.
It's
not as big a story as we spend 20 days of our lives in Wellington in a car trying to get to work.
It's a story, but it's not a front page story.
No. Is it because it's an unusual story?
No, it's not.
No?
It's because
okay.
it's unusual.
What, they shoot a dog?
Well, What is unusual? On a runway, I find it okay.
I think it's unusual that we spend 20 days of a year.
Well, that's outrageous.
Sitting in a car trying to get to work.
Okay, let's ask people: is this as big a story as what it's being made out to be? The shooting of a dog on Auckland Airport because they can't control it, and not just a random dog from over the back fence, but a trained security dog.
A lot of money.
What about the safety of these planes trying to land that have traveled from halfway around the world trying to land at Auckland Airport, and ones that can't take off from all over the world? What about let's be a little bit fair. What happened if the opposite happened? What happened if we had Auckland Airport closed for 8 hours while they tried to get a dog under control? Every other person in the world would be turned around and say, why didn't they just go out there with a 22 and shoot the damn
dog? I reckon a lot of people would support the airport for doing that. Because an animal's involved.
Well, those are those people that sit behind a computer that have nothing in their life, no ambition, no drive, no dreams.
Settle down. You're attacking everybody.
Chris has let me know. He said the shot dog story churned my stomach. Why? Because it led your news at 10 o'clock. The second story was about two humans who died in a house fire near Taupo. Yeah. Where are the priorities?
Fair comment. Another says,
and there's been all sorts of feedback coming through, it is a bit frightening, isn't it, that if it takes 3.5 hours to catch a dog, it's a good job a person wasn't running around with a bomb.
I was going to say, what the Keystone Cops here, how hard is it? And those dogs, they're what? They're spaniels, beagles, you know, it's not like they're, Alsatians. Mm.
I still remember that thing in Porirua about 5 or 6 years ago where the police had to try and shoot that dog. Do you remember that thing?
They were firing ping, 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 ping
everywhere. They couldn't get the dog. Well, I was thinking, better about a human.
Yeah, they got everything else except the dog. 0800 80 10 80 472 1035 if you would like to add your comments to that this morning. Now, I want to get to the water in a moment because that's been a really big topic throughout the week and whether we should charge for water. We were talking the last hour, Nick, about the Kmart, the new Kmart that's going up in Petone. They have 90 jobs going, full-time, part-time and casual. They have had 1,200 people applying for those jobs. Is that astonishing to you?
Absolutely not. That's only just under 10% of the actual jobs people are, you know, applying for it. And remembering I want to say this in the most politically correct way. This is a very entry level position. So this applies to, if there is 100% of people that can apply for a job, this could appeal to 100% of them. It's not like a doctor or a lawyer or a gardener or a chef or a, you know, specific mechanic. Mm. I'm not trying to say it's professional.
Yeah, it's a non-skilled job.
So no, that doesn't, and the fact that we're making such a big song and dance about it really concerns me, because we have got employment problems in this country. We cannot, and I've talked to people about this all the time, people can't open businesses because they can't and get the right professional help
so
that they need to.
You still struggle to get chefs.
We've got a huge position available, and we've had three applicants for it.
Because it's skilled.
It's skilled.
Yeah.
So why are we not producing enough skilled chefs in New Zealand?
Well, it's because they all go to Queenstown and earn a fortune down there because it's just where it's happening. It's just reality of life. So don't make a big, I think my heart goes out for those people that are lining up and trying to get a job and the ones that miss out. But at the end of the day, if 1,000 people turn up to apply for a job for 100 positions, that's not ridiculous. And please trust me on this. I would say that a big percentage of that people wouldn't even know their own name.
Okay.
They would turn up and they would get a piece of paper and say, write your name down and your address, and they'd get to their name and then the address, they'd have to think
but at least they're looking for a job. That's a positive thing, isn't it?
And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we can't get tied up with it.
But doesn't that tell you something, though, that if you've got, you know, 1,000 people applying for a non-skilled job and you can't find a skilled chef and we haven't got enough skilled job, what's happening with our training? Mm. Why are we not producing higher skilled people? And why are we not producing more high-skilled jobs? Because that's the thing. One of the reasons why our wages are low compared to Australia, for example, is that a lot of our jobs are not high value jobs, so they're getting you're getting the minimum wage. For more people are getting minimum wage or just above, or a living wage, because the jobs are, as you say, just the screw the bottle top on the bottle jobs.
Mm. Has anyone ever, and this is a question to everybody in listening to the station, has anyone told us how many people or what percentage of our working people are on minimum wage. Because
I reckon it's a big percentage.
We employ 165 people last Wednesday, and none of them were on minimum wage.
All you have to do is look at the wages. That we are a low wage economy. Why are we a low wage economy? Because we're a low value job economy.
I disagree with you. I honestly believe that the minimum wage would be so low. It's ridiculous. I think that fact, why has no one come out with that,
well,
that figure?
We will
look into that stat about why we have, what percentage of people are on the minimum wage.
And it's a much higher percentage in New Zealand than it is in Australia or other similar countries.
I agree with you, Josie. I think we are, in terms of the Western world, a low-wage economy, but we have a very high cost of living.
So we're a first-world country selling third-world products. That's part of our problem. So we sell raw products, you know, wood, we don't do anything to it. Milk powder, we don't do anything to it. So that's that. I mean, and again, that's a much bigger question about how do you go up the value chain, because we're the peasants at the bottom of the world, Tim, you know, and we're going to continue to be little old New Zealand at the bottom of the world when we could be Finland, Sweden, we could be one of those countries that creates IKEA instead of sends off raw logs off the shore of New Zealand.
Totally agree.
It is 20 past 10. Just take a break. We'll try and find these figures just to confirm how many people are actually on the minimum wage in this country. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 0800 80 10 80 472 1035. Thanks for your feedback on the dog. Paul says the dog shot at Auckland Airport led the news because people have an unnatural attachment to dogs in this country.
Unnatural attachment.
That's why they'd be more upset about that than care about people who may have died in a house fire. And this is a good point. Paul says nearly all of the comments that are coming and the condemning of what's happened here has been done by people who weren't there.
Call 0800 80 1080 to talk back with Tim Fuchs on Newstalk ZB with Wellington International Airport and Jetstar, flying Wellington to Melbourne direct 4 times a week.
Lots of feedback coming in on this dog situation in Auckland. Tim, the dog is may not be very well trained at all. It should have come to its owner on command. Another says, this is from Joey, says the dog story has made headlines because it's so bizarre. If a tranquilizer dart had been used and it hadn't died, then maybe it would just get a brief mention. But the fact the dog's died at Auckland Airport is probably why it's such big news at the moment. Thank you for your feedback coming through. I'll get to more of it shortly. That was from Steve. Now, the water issue, Josie, this has been bubbling away, so to speak, over the last, particularly the last week or so. We had nationwide protests about people saying we shouldn't be giving our water away, particularly to Chinese companies wanting to come here and take it. Do you reckon we should be charging for it?
Well, the problem is no one owns it, but there are a lot of people making money out of it. So something has to change. That status quo can't continue. I mean, it's everybody from, you know, farmers who are using it for irrigation, dairy farming. It's not just Chinese bottlers. It's the water that's used in our power companies to dry the milk powder that goes to China. You know, there are multiple users of our water. So you think of Genesis Electricity Agency dam, for example. It goes through that power company. The water goes through two dams, and by the time it's gone through two dams, it's made, I don't know what, $30 million for someone that's not us. So it's not just the bottled water. It's what we're using water for, and something has to change. And I was thinking about this. Remember, you know, way back before we had a quota system for fish, the whole debate then was nobody owns the fish. And that's right. We still stay true to that. No one owns the fish in the sea, but you have a right to catch a certain number of fish, and once you catch them, you own them.
Yeah.
So maybe we could do something with water where no one owns the water, but you have a right to use a certain amount of it, and you pay for it.
Do Kapiti pay for the water? Doesn't someone?
Yes, we do now.
Yeah,
you've got water meters there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, that's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, in business, we pay for our water, and it's substantial. It is substantial. It's like a $700 or $800 a month bill to pay for the water that you use in your business, depending on how the size of your business. So that is going to happen. That is definitely going to happen where everybody pays for their water, and that's fair enough. I believe that you should be paying for it. I do absolutely strongly believe that they shouldn't be letting all these people take all these bottled millions and millions of litres of water out in bottles and sell it and get it for free.
But would you make New Zealanders pay as well? Like in terms of
you've got to pay
New Zealand
for what
companies?
You use. Yes.
Okay.
So,
but you've got to, I think that's the principle there, is that you don't, no one owns it. A farmer who has a river running through his or her land, they don't own the water. And if they want to use it, they own the riverbed, but they don't, or some of it, they have a right to use a certain amount, but they still have to get a resource consent.
Yeah.
So we've got, I think, a quota system like the way we do with fishing could be a way around
it.
Yeah,
you get a million litres
a year or
something.
You get a right to use a certain amount and you pay for that right, but you don't get to own it. You don't own the fish in the sea and you don't own the water that comes out of the sky.
So my next-door neighbour, and he doesn't because I love my next-door neighbour, but spends all day going out and watering his plants and has a huge big section. Why should he pay the same rates as what I pay when I use just to wash my car?
So are you happy to have a water meter put
absolutely.
In at your house?
Absolutely.
Would you?
I think that we should be. I think we should, like Josie suggested, I think it's a great idea. We should get,
much,
i.e. a million litres a year free, and everything
thing
else
is
you pay for.
You think if we take oil as a natural product that you get out of the ground, and an oil company, if they take the oil, they pay royalties. So maybe if companies are taking the water, they should pay a royalty at least. There's lots of models.
Let's get
there.
Some reaction from listeners. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, mate. How are you, Tim?
Very, very well, thanks, Terry.
I'm a first-time caller and ex-friend of Nick Mills there.
Ex-friend.
Ex-friend, hang on.
Yeah, we're all ex-friends.
Not ex-friend, my mate, old Nick.
How you doing, Terry?
All right, buddy. All right. Hey, mate. The dog being shot. And I'm a dog lover. Got a dog. Maybe shoot the trainer, mate. What was he on?
Now that really would be front page news.
That would, mate.
Yeah, that would be front news paper. But yeah, I'm not sure their dog was being trained well. And about the water, mate.
Yep.
You know, it's coming. We're going to pay for it, but people can't take it out of the country for nothing, mate.
That's the thing, eh, Terry? Yeah, you can't if you're a business and you're using it and you take that water and out of that water you make $3 million, $30 million, $1 billion. You've got to pay for the use.
Mm. And thanks a lot for that, Terry. In fact, I've noticed a change in heart from the Prime Minister on this, who was again, you have to ask about Nick Smith sort of being the front man for all of this. It's just, I mean, he gets himself into, how he's still there, I've got no idea, to be quite honest, but he gets himself into holes over the housing, and he's the front man for the water thing, and he was adamant there wouldn't be any charging going on, and now Bill English has come out and said, it might be something we actually look at. So I think the government is listening to the concerns of people.
And I think there are perfectly good models out there that they can use, and because the other thing you've got going, and we've been talking about this for years, is Māori claims for the ownership of certain water. So that's, ownership has to be dealt with. We have to deal with the fact that nobody owns the water, but that people use it, people have a right to use it, and so on. We've got to solve all of these problems with one model. And we did it with fisheries. We solved the Māori settlement problem with the fisheries, and we had a quota system which protected the species, protected fish, and businesses get to go off and fish and make money.
I just... don't believe that there's not a lot of people making a lot of money out of it. I personally buy stuff from the water from Countdown. They have a special all the time, 24 bottles, 600ml bottles, for $10.
That's why do you buy water here?
Because I want fresh, clean water. I don't trust it. After I would have always drunk tap water up until the Hawke's Bay for Narcan. Now I thought to myself, I just don't want to trust the tap water. So, I mean, I still sometimes drink tap water, but it's so convenient when you go out to meetings or go and you just take a bottle of water. It works out to be less than 50 cents a bottle of water. I mean, it's ridiculously cheap.
It's so not someone, very good for the environment, is all those plastic bottles?
No, it's not. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. I better buy one of those. You're right.
You should. I should buy one of those. It's a good old-fashioned aluminium kind of can.
Can you trust the water? After what happened in Hawke's Bay, do you trust the water? Do you not sit there when I'm brushing my teeth? I'm thinking, oh my God, is this water okay? I don't want to get a bug.
Oh, that's never crossed my mind. Only if I was in the deep reaches of India I be concerned about water.
But Hawke's Bay was such a, and now we know what was causing it. There was some leak in the bore or something. I can't remember. There was some, but anyway, they found the source of it. But you're right, though. I mean, we've had this issue with the swimmable rivers and so on, that suddenly I think New Zealanders are going, oh, I remember as a kid, if you went out tramping in the hills or something, you'd drink the water from the river. So you're right. We don't trust the water as much as we did. And we're right to say, right, we've got to do something about that.
Have either of you ever tried Evian water, which is the sort of like the premier? Can you notice an enormous difference in it?
No,
you can't.
Of course not.
You pay three or four times the price for it than you would New Zealand
water.
You pay three or four times for a Rolex watch that still takes the same time as a Seiko.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the market.
It is the market at play.
I do notice, obviously, the difference between, speak French for a minute.
Please.
I couldn't think of the English word.
I think she lived
fizzy
lived
water.
There.
I did live there.
She did live in France.
And I did go to Sydney last weekend.
You did?
Yeah.
Speaking French?
Not speaking French.
It is 29 away from 11.
ZB Headlines.
26 away from 11. Never before have we awaited news headlines and what the lead story is going to be as much on a Friday morning as this one. Katrina, good morning.
Good morning. Well, yes, I don't know quite what to lead with because the comments are very valid that are coming in. Yes. I led with, obviously, the dog being shot dead at the airport, but
we're not happy with it, according to some of the feedback we're getting.
That's not necessarily a reflection that more value is placed on that than the life of a human. But obviously, that is the debate that it started
it
in the newsroom. So I will lead with the dog because I've previewed it. But I'm welcome to feedback. Police say aviation security is passing the blame when it comes to who decided to shoot dead the rogue security dog Grizz at Auckland Airport this morning. People who worked with two farm workers who've died in a house fire near Taupō overnight are distraught. A boil water notice is off the table for now, but Aucklanders are still being urged to keep their water usage down, and there's a call for an overhaul of the scheme under which migrant workers are allowed into this country. In sport, the Black Caps believe there's still plenty of life left in the Basin Reserve pitch as they head into day two of the second test with South Africa at 24 for 2 in its first innings. They're trailing by 244 runs, starts in half an hour. And the weather out there is lovely and sunny again, northerly strengthening this afternoon with a high of 20.
Thank you so much. As I said to you, Nick, when Katrina walked in, what are you going to be talking about around the dinner table tonight in terms, and I that's why I think, and maybe I'm coming from it because I've been in the news industry for too long, but I think that the dog one is the talking point of the day.
So. Oh, I don't think we'll be talking about the...
We'll be talking about the Wellington traffic.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And firstly, I'll be at a Saints game tonight, so we won't be sitting around dinner. We won't be sitting around. Well, how come that's not on the sports news? Saints first game tonight, KB. Come on.
That's actually, I'll read the league story. Next team... And today, it's playing a game of basketball, and the Saints will be playing really well.
You could never read the news, you know why? Because it's not about you.
No, stop it. Oh, that was so bitchy.
It is 24 away
you
from 11.
You are a big bitch.
News Talk ZB.
Now back to the Tim Fooks Morning Show. Call 0800 80 1080 on News Talk ZB.
21 away from 11. We'll get into street names and what you call them. We've got this ongoing issue. Well, it's sort of been resolved in Newlands, but this ongoing one on the Company Coast we'll get to in a moment. We just found some figures as well. Nick was asking the question a bit earlier, how many people in this country are on the minimum wage? We have a labour force in New Zealand. This is according to the latest stats out. We have a labour force in New Zealand of 3.7 million. We have 139,000 people unemployed and 120,000 workers are on the minimum wage. 120,000.
So labour force measures, because
the number
seems
of people
very
in any line of work.
So that
I
might
guess.
Be, you know, my 16-year-old daughter making smoothies at Pab Pram.
That's right.
Yeah, but yeah. If she gets paid for it,
minimum wage, then
she should be included in the. Yeah.
Yes, but do you when you're trying to look at the workforce, the adult workforce, you've got to make a distinction between a kid who's got a paper round.
Mm.
I mean, the stats usually do. I just want to say something about
you didn't get that out of yourself out of that situation that easily, Josie. It's a very low number on the minimum wage, and that was exactly the point that I did not know, and I would like to know as a person that lives in this country how many people are on the minimum wage. Now, two educated and semi educated know how many are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But you've still got a very low average compared to other OECD countries. Our average wage is very low. So it tells you there's a lot of people on just above the minimum wage, you know.
Okay. Mm. You're about to launch into another
Well, just talking about what leads the news.
This
is something that just annoys me so much. So you go on the Herald front page online, and because you've guiltily clicked on the story about Kim Kardashian or, you know, some celebrity gown that was worn at the Oscars, next thing, all you've got is Kim Kardashian and celebrity stuff and gossipy stuff. And you're thinking, it's like going into an Indian takeaway and asking for buttered chicken once, and then every time you go, the only thing on the menu is buttered chicken.
Well, it's the way
it's
computers...
Not really good
analogy. It's a
the
really way good analogy.
It's,
like,
it's the way
I don't
computers
want
work
them.
These days is that they can tell where you've been. Like,
telling me what you think I want.
If you're looking
you
for
be
a...
Careful, Josie.
If you're looking for a...
You better start being careful, Josie.
Why?
What you look on the computer, you better be careful.
Oh, that's true.
No, but
that's right.
If you're looking for a place to stay in Auckland, for example, and then next thing you know, next time you're looking at another website, it somehow manages to realise what you've been looking for in the past, and it comes up with little ads.
So I think this is
amazing.
Really,
very
I think
clever.
That, I think though, businesses are going to start realising that's not actually what people want. They don't want you to try and match what they're offering you to whatever it is you looked at last week. And that's
scary.
The problem. And that's
it's
why
it's amazing how
you
much
end
they can
up
do.
With a story of a dog that's been shot up on the top of the news, because actually everyone's interested at the moment. And then next thing, I bet you next week all we'll have is dog stories.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
from KB, but
no.
But, yeah.
Do either of you want a tax cut, Nick?
I really have a problem with the way we tax. I mean, obviously, I'm a businessman, and I get, you know, I have to take everybody's PAYE and look after that for them. I have to pay GST. I have to pay company tax, and it's just ridiculous the amount of tax we pay. I mean, it is ridiculous. And the one that really wiles me more than anything else, and this is for my own kids and for other people, young people, is secondary tax. You know, when my father wanted to buy a house, he was a school teacher. He couldn't afford to buy a house. So he worked at the TAB on Saturday mornings and the local race course. All that money went away. He saved up and bought his first house. The young people now, they try and do that, but they pay ridiculous secondary tax. It's the most stupid tax in the world. Why don't it just equal everything and then pay more tax if you earn more money?
What it's doing is it's punishing people for having a second or a third job. It's madness.
Talking of those people on that, you know, low wages or average wage, that in New Zealand, it's that group. It's people on sort of low to middle incomes who are paying the most tax.
Mm.
So every dollar that you earn is taxed when you're on a middle to low income. Whereas if you've got, and not you, Nick, but I mean people who are sort of sitting on capital, sitting on houses, they're buying and selling houses or they're buying and selling assets, they're completely subsidised. It's like a massive Christmas present for them. They don't pay any tax on it. Yet they're making an income. Your house in Auckland, if you own a house in Auckland, or you're a developer owning houses in Auckland, it makes more money per year than you do if you go out and work for a wage.
Do you think
so? You should do a tax switch.
Do you think we should be getting a tax cut?
I think you should cut income tax for that low to middle income group, and you should do a tax switch, so you've still got your government coffers with enough money to pay for schools and hospitals and stuff and police, by taxing those that are earning income, but they're earning it off assets, off property.
I think,
and they pay no tax. No tax.
I think the whole system of taxation's wrong. Why should me, as a small businessman, have to take your tax off you, look after it, pay it to the government? Why should we, as a small business, have to take 15% of everything that we earn and take it and store it and give it to the government? And then we have to pay company tax as well.
Mm.
And then, well, you know how stupid it is, and some of your listeners wouldn't even know this. If I have a company that makes $50,000 profit this year, has to pay tax on that, but it also has to, before the next financial year, pay the same amount of tax in advance for the following year, because you made it last year.
So
how ludicrous is this tax system?
There's some real unfair things going on in our tax system, and I don't think it's not. If Bill English is saying we've got a surplus, that's great. But let's think more about how it is we do some kind of tax switch. So those who've been carrying the burden, whether it's you, Nick, trying to, you know, create businesses in town where you're actually employing people and paying them, or whether it's low and middle income people who are paying way, way too much in their taxes compared to those that are paying zero tax.
And why don't we just pay a gross amount? Why don't we pay the amount to the person every week, including their holiday pay and everything, every week, and they pay their own tax?
They pay their own,
why do we as employees have to look after that and take protection? Because if we actually are a day late, we get fined.
Because the cost of doing that would be massive.
But why should it be a cost to the employer?
Okay.
You know, really think about it. I mean, it is a massive issue.
It is 14 minutes away from 11. News Talk ZB.
Call 0800 80 1080 to talk back with Tim Fuchs on News Talk ZB. With Wellington International Airport, it's always cheaper when you book your airport parking online at wellingtonairport.co.nz.
12 minutes away now for the News at 11. We'll get to Nick's fruit and veggie report, of course, before the end of the hour. I just want to talk about street names, a couple of issues. Newlands, they were coming up trying to work out what to call a new housing development. The builder or the developer wanted English street names, but the council said, no, you have to have some Māori street names. So instead of having Saltwater Lane, it's now been called Waitai Lane, which is the Māori translation for saltwater. And then, of course, this ongoing issue, Josie, which you mentioned last week on the program that you're going through at the moment, the renaming of the old State Highway 1. You've got the brochure that's been put out by the council with the alternative names they want to call it.
Yes, and you're holding that extremely glossy, extremely expensive brochure.
Yes.
So this must be bugging people in Kapiti up State Highway 1 as much as me. I don't know how much money they've spent on that consultation, but it is a total sham. I mean, they would have spent, I reckon, about $200,000 of our ratepayers' money consulting us on renaming the old state highway. They haven't even asked us if that's the most important thing to us. The most important thing to us on that street is that we haven't got ultra-fast broadband, we haven't got pavement, the kids can't walk to school. So it's not about the name of the street. It's not about Māori names for the street, because I think that, I mean, we're up in Kapiti. Kapiti's a Māori name. Waikanae, Paraparaumu, Otaihanga. We've got some wonderful names that mean something to everybody who lives there, Pākehā or Māori. But they've come up with a whole bunch of, they've got seven names in there. Māori names that most people haven't heard of.
And the problem is, Nick, you know that the consultation's going to mean nothing.
Nothing.
And they've already decided what they're going to call it anyway, I reckon.
Nick?
They?
Was Nick he
what
was coming
he
to?
Say? No, he was. No, oh, Nick can wait. I haven't finished. It's not your Blimmin' Street. I live on that Blimmin' Street. And I'm outraged. Get Guru, the mayor, on this program and ask him why is he consulting on this, not other stuff? And if he is consulting, why is he spending $200,000 on
a
bloody brochure?
I think that's a great idea. Let's get the Kapiti mayor on the program next week. I'd love to hear why they're going through all this. But Nick, the consultation thing, it's a farce. You know, when councils go out looking for public opinion, they've already made up their mind already.
Absolutely. But I do love the idea of having some English names on streets and some Māori streets. And it's really good for you, because when you live on those streets, and I lived on a street called Taipakupaku Road.
Oh, that's a nice name.
Don't you reckon that's a lovely name? Taipakupaku Road.
That's really good. What does it mean?
I've got no idea. I'll
put you on the spot there. Do you know what raumati means?
No, I don't.
Summer.
Paraparaumu means dirty, dirty oven. Apparently. This is what I was told during the week.
Well, para can mean several things.
Oh, can it?
It's not necessarily
earth,
dirty. It's rubbish.
Oven of the earth or something?
Oven.
Okay.
Rubbish oven.
We're fast running out of time, and I want to leave time for the fruit and veggie report. Josie, hots or nots?
I've got a quick which is our, I mean, there are many New Zealand NGOs working in the Horn of Africa at the moment, and it's amazing what some of them are doing. And the ones that have been working there for a number of years have had the drought and the famine is there, which 20 million people are affected at the moment, and it's heartbreaking. I don't know whether you saw the images on the news, but where those New Zealand NGOs have been, those regions are coping better with the drought and better with the crisis. There's a civil war going on there, which is ugly. And this is, you know, Child Fund, Tear Fund, World Vision, Save the Children, Caritas. There's some fantastic New Zealand NGOs out there. And I'm really proud to call myself a New Zealander when I see that. They've all come together to do an appeal together.
Fantastic.
So they're in the same direction. Anyway, give to them if you want to do something.
Nick?
Right. Although you look out the window and it's a beautiful, fine day and it's 20 degrees and the cricket's on at the Basin Reserve, it is actually the end of summer stuff. So salads are really drying up now.
So we've got into the fruit and veggie report.
Can I go into the
Well, I thought you were doing a hot or not first.
I wanted to do my veggie report.
Okay,
veggie
report.
That's all right.
Is that all right? Then if I haven't got time for a hot or not, we really got it. Sorry.
Okay. So salads are out, right.
So salads are actually
fading. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll go back to your not hot.
No, on my not hot chickens. But carry on. I'll talk to you about that later. Okay.
Yeah, well, I don't think we will, but anyway.
This is a very serious peak for people about to go and do their shopping
salads
for the week.
Salads are drying up.
Salads are drying up. So tomatoes, you know, lettuces and all that stuff. So get them this weekend. Beautiful summer's day. Try and get the last of the barbecues. Apples. Apples are very plentiful at the moment. Lots of different brands and crisps.
What's the crispy one?
Gala, is it?
Royal Gala.
Pacific Rose. I love Pacific Rose.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet. Bananas are okay again. Plenty supply of bananas, so that's all good for you. Now, all the stone fruit's just about gone. So you're sort of the last weekend. I love stone fruit. I don't know about you people, Amiga plums are finally hitting their straps. They're the red ones. I keep talking about them because I think are the sweet, beautiful plums. Amiga plums, get them. Stone fruits are gone. Winter is here. Carrots, parsnips, all that sort of stuff is plentiful.
Carrots. Goddamn carrots.
I love carrots.
You can rely on your carrots.
You love carrots. Cabbages. I talked about the thing. And the star of the week is leeks.
Leeks.
Love leeks.
Can you tell us something that you could make with leeks?
Chicken noodle soup.
Yep. Ooh.
Lightly cooking them with a bit of olive oil and salt and pepper.
Mm-mm. And navel oranges. I got some navel oranges the other day. Were beautiful. What does a navel orange mean?
I don't know.
Did you know what a navel orange means? No, this is an interesting fact. I'm going to
get it. It's in the Navy?
It means it's got no pips. Naval orange does. Naval means it's got no pips.
Didn't know that. No, naturally or not naturally?
Naturally, I think. I don't know. Someone will ring up and correct me. Now, my hot. Can I tell you my hot?
Yeah, you've got 20 seconds.
My hot is Poirier, the documentary on Delvanius and the Pātea Māori Club. It was on Netflix. I watched it. It was a fabulous documentary. Fabulous. Mm. Proud, maybe proud to be a Kiwi and to embrace Māoridom in
you.
A nice way.
Poirier. Yeah, that was out of the movies last year, so it's on Netflix. You've seen it now.
Oh,
good on you.
Did you see
it? No, I haven't seen it, but I've heard great things about it.
It's really good.
Very, very good.
Lovely, guys. Thank you so much, as always. Nick Mills and Joseph Vigani for another week on the Friday Forum.